I think Baltimore still has a chance. The thing that I struggle with in Buffalo is when everything's scripted, that team seems to be okay. But when there it comes down to a fourth quarter where they have to make either an important play or an important decision by the coach, they always seem to dribble down their leg. So to me, Buffalo will always just hit that proverbial ceiling, and they can be the Charles Barkley to the Michael Jordan, unfortunately for Josh Allen.
That Doug Whaley clip. What an interesting way to put that. Dribble down their leg.
I mean, I guess it's a nice way to put it. A radio safe way to put it.
It is. The FCC was probably happy about that. But I don't... I know you and Zach Jones talked about this clip earlier this week.
But you can get your bit in on this.
I don't fully disagree with what he's saying. It's just an interesting vessel saying it.
Right.
Like that. Like Doug Whaley just emerging from the woodwork. I haven't heard his name since Brandon Bean was hired.
I still always look at this as, man, I just need one time for them to break through past Kansas City to get rid of all of this.
Yeah.
And I do think that there's a bigger discussion that has to be had, which is what happens if the Chiefs make it out of the AFC again?
And they easily can.
They're the team that threatens the Chiefs the most.
You know how we say it's the Bills' division until it's not? It's the Chiefs conference until it's not, until proven otherwise. That's just what it is.
And unfortunate. It's always discouraging, to say the least, to where, I don't know. I'm still along the lines of this. Could you do better, for example, than Sean McDermott? Maybe. But because I don't have a clear answer on that,
yeah,
it's kind of what scares me.
Well, let's just think about this for a second. Go through a couple names of who could possibly be out there. And this isn't us saying Sean McDermott should be replaced, because I don't think he should.
As a matter of fact, I'm trying to argue the other side of this.
McCarthy?
Yeah, I'd rather have the devil I know than the devil I don't.
Right.
Because he has gotten better in the last couple of years.
There's definitely been growth.
In terms of that management, that... sort of, you know, trying to make sure everyone is on the same page. You hear about the culture. Chase Claypool put up a post yesterday talking about the very brief time he was here in Buffalo and how he was working his way up.
There's part of me that kind of wishes that worked out and he didn't get injured. Because yeah. I think that could have been pretty interesting.
That would have been really interesting.
Yeah. That's a big tight end style wide receiver. And that would have been... could he have made the team? It's just such a... It's a thing in my brain that's really, really cool.
If he was playing with a focused mind the way that he can.
The way that he seemed to be going through training camp, all of that.
The Bills probably don't throw a third round pick at Amari Cooper, quite honestly. Because Claypool is athletically talented enough that you have that type of player.
Yeah.
If that was actually all the case and he didn't get hurt, man, that would have been really fun.
And Amari Cooper's still out there in free agency, right?
He's still unsigned.
Yeah.
Which I do think is wild. I don't understand why.
Yeah.
I get the outside perspective of, you didn't do anything with Josh Allen as your quarterback. No. You joined midseason. That's hard to do.
And he was fighting through an injury that required surgery, but played through it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also, you join a team midseason, it's not a guarantee you're always going to pop off again. You don't know the playbook. You don't know what's going on.
That first touchdown, his arms were in the air. Keon Coleman's trying to tell him what to do.
Yeah.
The rookie.
Yeah, it's...
he had no idea. And then he ends up catching a touchdown. It was just perfect. But it could... You see the
Coleman
Bills...
Coleman effectively directing traffic between quarterback and new wide receiver going, this is the play.
If you're a team like New England looking to add veteran wide receiver talent, his value, the longer he sits on the market... And after playing with the Bills for a season, and what he did here lowers his value a touch, in my opinion. And it's not a slight on him. It's just the production he had definitely does. If you're New England, if you're Miami, if you are any other team in the AFC, why aren't you looking to sign him?
I don't even need an AFC team on this one. What about Carolina?
Right. Get a veteran receiver in there other than Adam Thielen.
Because then you get another depth player in there to work with McMillan. To work with Leggett.
Yep, Xavier Leggett, absolutely. And a veteran talent for Bryce Young.
Exactly.
You've seen with Josh Allen, right? And yeah, Stephon Diggs is on the Patriots now. Ready? There was a whole saga there.
What about the Giants?
Yeah. With Malik Nabers, with Russell Wilson. Like, yes. But you've seen what a veteran wide receiver can do, and you can say whatever you want about Stephon Diggs. He is a huge part of why Josh Allen became the quarterback he is to this day.
I do find it weird, but, you know, like Amari Cooper being unsigned is, it is what it is. I just still found it surprising that all throughout free agency he was untouched.
That's what I
and you heard nothing about him.
No, his name wasn't mentioned from any team, any analyst. Like, he's not popping up anywhere.
Right.
I only saw it because of an Instagram post from the NFL saying, "Guy's still out there," and I scrolled through because who else is out there? Washington Commanders last year. I'm blanking. Keenan Allen, he's still out there too.
Oh yeah.
So. I mean, that's another option as well. But with the Bills, the wide receiver room this year, are you feeling better or worse? I'm feeling better. I think you have, with Josh Palmer, you have some upside. And I think Elijah Moore provides a lot more upside than a lot of people are giving credit for.
Yes. No, I think it's the amount, like, I might even say there might be too much credit being given to Elijah Moore right now.
You think so?
Yes.
I was kind of teetering for a while, and now I'm kind of in.
Everyone's pretty much in at this point. That's what this is.
Last year for the Browns, he had 61 receptions for 538 yards, a touchdown, average 8.8 yards per reception. And the year before that, I mean, it was pretty much the same, two touchdowns.
Right. And if he puts up similar numbers, like, that's great. That's exactly what you want from another depth signing.
Rotational wide receiver.
Yes.
Yes.
That's perfectly fine. It does sound like a lot of people are at the point where, like, they're expecting more than that from him.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes sense because of the caliber of quarterback that he played with over these last couple of years, also actually probably throughout his entire career. And then you get a quarterback with the caliber of Josh Allen.
Well, and last year he had the Grim Reaper as his offensive coordinator, Ken Dorsey. He ruins offenses. So
now the other part of this is this. Well, further than that, Deshaun Watson was the quarterback to start the year.
Yeah, the real Grim Reaper.
You want to talk about actual death to offenses.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean that these things are automatic. That's the other part. Like, maybe he is who he is, which is like a solid depth wide receiver, and that's perfectly fine. And if that is what it is, then it is what it is. Other than that, like, to the question though, do I feel better? Ultimately, I feel the same. The same being, they're a championship contender who has one red and yellow problem. That's it.
Yep, the red and yellow problem.
It's a red and yellow problem. That's it.
And that's what I've seen mostly, right? It's the look at last season. Josh Allen did the unthinkable. He won MVP with a room that was quote-unquote subpar to other rooms in the NFL. You add Amari Cooper in there for sure, and that bumped it up a little bit. But still, injuries, that wide receiver room was shifting, aside from Khalil Shakir, all season.
Even Shakir got hurt for a couple games.
Right, right. So it was
revolving
door.
Problem with their depth.
Well, that really did. That held the magnifying glass over him for sure. But now, I think they have a better core. I do like the upside of Elijah Moore, and I don't think he's going to have a super upside like some people do. But if he can replicate what he did in Cleveland even last year, and I think it's going to be more because of Josh Allen and the offense you're playing, and I think it's only going to promote more.
The offense that you're playing does have a role in this now. Think about it.
Well, that everybody eats.
Ex-receivers get a little less attention. Maybe that has to do with the quality of them. But since Joe Brady has taken over, why does Diggs want out? It's because the role is different now.
Yeah.
He's
not wide receiver one.
It's the X receiver does not get as much attention. So, does that turn into, that's just what all these guys are going to do, is this similar type of production based on the offense that Joe Brady likes to utilize? Maybe.
Maybe. But I don't actually, I kind of like that, especially for the financial future of the team.
Because think about this, ready? When did Joe Brady start getting his shine?
LSU with Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase.
And a trio of wide receivers that were a headache.
Yeah.
Not one of them shined more the other.
No. They were all dogs.
They were all guys that you had to get the football.
Mm-hmm.
Are we starting to see a trend here? All guys that you have to get the football? Everybody eats? That's just maybe what Joe Brady is.
Which is what we were excited about looking back when he first took over the job from Dorsey. I remember talking about this.
I was remembering it was about spacing concepts.
Spacing. That too.
Having two wide receivers constantly running into the same area to where DBs can read it. It's not a mistake that Allen had his career high in interceptions.
Right. Right. That, all that aside.
Oh my God. The haunting image of Gabe Davis running down the same sideline, doing the same route.
Yeah.
As Diggs, and then the ball gets picked. It's like, of course the safety read that.
See, we're looking back at a time. The Bills weren't always this good. They did.
They still pulled 11 wins out of their hat.
They did, because they went on a run with Joe Brady. But the whole thing, you look back at that, as soon as Brady came in, it was, oh, LSU,
balance
a few
it
seasons
out.
Back. Look at this. Look at what he did there.
But he balances it out.
Even in Carolina, he didn't get a fair shake because that team was in shambles already.
Oh, my God.
That was in trouble. So everybody worried about him. It was, oh, don't worry. He's coming into a competent organization now, not the Carolina Panthers organization.
Right.
As soon as he even unlocks James Cook in the run game, right? He's a big reason
the
James
man was,
Cook
the
even
man was
is
under
able to,
Matt Rule.
Yeah.
The guy who's like, yeah, we're going to play two quarterbacks in the same game.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
Him and Mike Tomlin are in the same conversation because of that. Russ, you're out. Fields, you're in for a couple plays. Then we're going to rotate you back.
Yep.
But
awful.
It's just Joe Brady's unlocking of this Bills offense has been huge. And I, like I said, I like it for the financial future of the team. Because in all seriousness, a group of guys like this, just fellas in the wide receiver room, not the big dogs, Allen can do anything with those guys, I feel like. And this season is going to be the true test of that. And see if last season was a fluke or not. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But the financial future looks like, oh, we're investing in our quarterback, so we're going to be able to have a revolving door of receivers.
And if you have capable wide receivers,
yes,
capable pros, that's why I feel exactly the same. Like to answer your question ultimately about this team, my one actual worry about the Bills entirely here is this. Their defense just got a lot younger.
Very much so. But it needed to.
It needed to, but sometimes that means you're not going to be firing out the gate that quick.
Right, you're going to take a step back.
You might be processing the speed of the National Football League.
I am still a little worried about the safety position as well.
Which is fine to me. That's fine. It's okay. If there are struggles from a Hairston, Jackson, Sanders, Walker, even Bishop in his second year.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to be surprised.
No.
Young players make mistakes. That's reality as long as they're talented enough to cover them up and make it a net positive.
Right.
Will it start that way? Maybe not.
It might be a slow burn for the start
and
of the season.
And it's not a guarantee one way or another, but it's the one worry I have. Mm-hmm. Will the defense fire off the same way that it has in the past?
It's more of a concern than a worry because you know eventually.
Probably not.
They're going to.
They'll steady up.
Yeah.
But it might be, does this cost you, for example, the one seed?
Now, speaking, we were talking about Amari Cooper, free agency, right? Not going anywhere. There's still a Rasul Douglas on the market, on the open market. Could you ever see the Bills bringing him in as a veteran cornerback again, just on a cheaper contract for 1 year?
They already have veteran presences they signed. Dane Jackson, Tre'Davious White.
Yeah.
They already signed both of them.
But what, I mean, you might end up, Tre'Davious White, I think, has a chance of maybe not even making the team, depending on how he plays.
And the same with Jackson.
Right.
Those were contingencies on in case they didn't get the draft picks that they wanted. They got what they wanted. And that is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Am I worried about, you know, for example, like Tre White not looking like Tre White? No. Am I bracing myself for that potential of maybe Tre White does get released? Yeah. But does that really change my opinion on the defense? No. I suspect that might be a slow burn to get some of these rookies up to proper speed. and the fact that there are so many new faces on this team. Because it's also the D tackles, the D ends, the new signings, Bosa, Hoyt, Ogunjobi. Your draft picks.
Ogunjobi, though, you're not going to... I wouldn't be surprised if there's a way they get out of that. You don't think so?
No, it does sound like he's really gotten a grasp of the playbook.
Oh, okay. So, when can he like stop practicing? When does he have to stop practicing? Training camp?
When the season begins.
Oh, so he can go the entire preseason.
He can go through the preseason. The Bills might not work as many reps to him because they need to be ready for week one.
Right, they got to get the young guys ready for week one.
They need to get these kids ready. So there may be a little bit less of a focus
and
on
same with Hoyt, those
Hoyt
two.
Hoyt and Ogunjobi, knowing that there's going to be a 6-game suspension.
Well, it's interesting. Like, we've talked about this. Hoyt, they clearly have a future vision for because they signed him for multiple years. Ogunjobi, if he has gotten a grasp of the playbook, that's great. But I did, at one point before this, when he first got announced to being suspended, like when that first started coming out, I foresaw them kind of moving away from that because he's only a 1-year deal and he's only going to play a fraction of the season for you.
Yes, but I do think that if he's understanding the playbook, like he's probably going to be a part of the D-tackle depth. And that's perfectly fine. I suspect that maybe with all these new faces, there might be a little bit of a hang on. We got to get everything connected and together again. And week one against the Ravens is certainly not the easiest task to do that. We'll see. It's my concern. It's my only concern. But it doesn't change anything about the outlook of the Buffalo Bills 2025, which is they're a contender for the one seed. They're a contender to go to the Super Bowl. They have this one ugly, consistent problem in the postseason of making Kansas City look like the best football team that they've ever faced.
Yeah.
Can you get past that? That'd be great. Even if you don't get past it and you get around it, say another team takes out Kansas City, for example, I'll take it. Break through the conference. Get there. Because it makes all the difference on how the league views you, but also how you can view yourself. Knowing we finally got there.
Yeah. And like just to, you know, go back to what you said in the beginning, it really is one win against them in the playoffs and that's it. All that noise just goes away.
Because then you look at a team that, when you look at all games played against each other within this era,
it's 50-50.
They're very even.
Yeah. And the playoff wins even. Buffalo's finally on the other side of at that point.
That's all you need. Flip one. And you can get it done. Flip one, and you change the narrative.
It is unbelievable how close the narrative actually is.
Because all those games, outside of 2020, when they weren't ready yet.
Well, yeah, clearly they weren't.
Because they lost twice to the Chiefs that year, oddly enough. But ever since they've shown that they arrived, they've been on the Chiefs' heels in every playoff game. Including a couple of classics where you're like, it's a shame that one team has to lose. The one that you felt the most uneasy about is the one that, oddly enough, was played here in the playoffs. Because that was Tyler Bass just like, all right, go kick this thing to try to tie it and give Mahomes like a minute and a half to go ahead and win the game. Have fun. Bass's inaccuracy that year led us to kind of cut that potential misery out early. Like the doom and gloom, sure. Like, I don't need any more. I'm cool. Thank you for that. Thanks for putting us out of our misery on that one. But even Bass rebounded.
He did. And it took a while.
That Miami
he finally got his
shot.
Confidence back. That Miami shot, you're right. That did it.
60-yarder against Miami to end the game, win it, does a lot for a player's confidence.
Yeah.
And I could not have been happier for him. Because that was a no-doubter, too. From 60.
I went right through. Yeah.
That ball left his foot, and I'm like, oh, that's good.
You knew it. There was no question. And, you know, in the big moments, you have more confidence in him. He has more confidence in himself. That makes all the difference.
Exactly. And that's, again, why I'm relatively unchanged on the Buffalo Bills. How confident are you that they are from where they are last year to where they are this year? And I'm going to say they are the same. It is static.
And that's kind of why it's been so hockey heavy this offseason, because it's just the same old story again with the Bills, I feel
well,
like.
I'm going to do something with you in the next segment, and that's we're going to flip the question around.
Okay.
Which is, are the Buffalo Sabres a better team now than they were last year?
Oh boy.
And we'll talk more about that coming up next.